Good morning, Gina. This is Garrett West, pastor of First Baptist Gina, and this morning we'll continue exploring the question, what is God like? We're exploring the communicable attributes of God, and today we'll move on to his moral attributes, beginning with his goodness. God is good. When defining God's truthfulness, I said that God is the embodiment of truth and the final standard of truth. Well, we're going to define God's goodness the same way. God is the embodiment of goodness and the final standard of goodness. Let's just look at the first phrase this morning. What does it mean that God is the embodiment of goodness? Put simply, it means that everything that God is good, and everything he does is good, worthy of approval, or praiseworthy. God's goodness serves as an umbrella under which sit other attributes, such as God's love, mercy, grace, and patience. These are all expressions of God's goodness. Now, this attribute is flatly rejected by those who reject God. It's not just that they don't believe God exists. They believe that even if the God of the Bible existed, we really could not call him good. In fact, it's often suggested that the biggest obstacle to God is not so much an intellectual obstacle, but an emotional one. The emotional hides behind the intellectual, and it says God can't be good because he blank. This is a reality that Christians really must grapple with. God is good, perfectly good, and there is evil in the world, pain, grief, sorrow, and even death. The question, therefore, is how can a good God and evil in the world coexist? We'll address that problem tomorrow. Today, I just want to expose how unthinkable tragedy and heartache hit one believer in the Bible so that we can see a vital truth. A perfectly good God and evil in the world can indeed coexist without detracting from God's goodness or his worthiness of worship. In the book of Job, a man named Job suffers unthinkable loss. God allows Satan to destroy his flocks, pastures, servants, his whole livelihood, and all of his sons and daughters. This all takes place in a single day, Job receiving the news of each, one after the other. There's so much we could cover here, but I just want to show you how Job responded in chapter 1, verse 20. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. You might think, Garrett, is it really good for God to sit back all comfy and let his people suffer? That's not the God that we serve. We serve a God who, for some reason, allows suffering, but who has entered into it with us so that it might be done away with for good. God took on flesh and dwelt among sinful men, enduring both physical torment and spiritual agony as he hung on the cross. Our God doesn't just watch us suffer. He suffers with us to do away with it. This reality will not immediately remove your own suffering, but it gives us hope. God is aware, he is suffering through it alongside us, and he has made a way of escape for us through Jesus Christ. So hear me, he is good, and he is worthy of our worship.